You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You've probably seen this little guy's picture, Lucas Warren, little baby, named the 2018 Gerber baby. Him and his little baby bow tie was all over social media. Adorable little guy, as the Gerber babies always are. He is a first, though. He is the first Gerber baby with Down syndrome. Why is that choice, especially here in 2018, so important? Joining us to answer that question on this Tuesday afternoon, Wesley Smith, a regular guest, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and a recent column for First Things titled Why the 2018 Gerber Baby Choice is So Important. Wesley, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. A meaningful Lent to you and your listeners.
Tell us about what you call a concerted international effort at eugenic abortion.
Actually, I use stronger language. I call it a pogrom. What we are seeing with the use of prenatal diagnosis is an attempt to watch certain people with genetic conditions, in my view, off the face of the earth. Let's start with dwarfism. About 90% of fetuses testing positive for dwarfism are aborted. The same is true of babies with Down syndrome in this country. In Iceland, they brag that there are no babies with Down syndrome born there, and that's because of the cleansing that goes on to make sure they never make it to birth. Denmark, I think in the year 2015 or 2016, there have been reports that they're public policy is to prevent any Down from being born, Down babies. They deny it, but the statistics are pretty clear. In 2015 or 16, there were 4 in the entire country. And this is really a denial of diversity. It's a denial of inclusion. It's a denial of tolerance. I'm older than you, but when I grew up, people with Down syndrome, people with dwarfism were part of the fabric of the community. In fact, people with Down syndrome really provided a contribution and still do because, honestly, Todd, I don't know of any group of people who are more loving and gentle and sweet as I don't know of any instance in my experience where that wasn't true than people with Down syndrome. That their capacity to love, their desire to please, their gentleness is they're not perfect, of course, but these are people who add to our society and don't detract from it. And yet, with abortion, most of them are not making it to birth by the great majority. And also, you see advocacy for like from Peter Singer for infanticide. If a baby makes it past that gauntlet to birth, that the baby should be allowed to be killed. And also, you see the kind of denigrating public statements made by people that people with Down understand. As I say in my piece in First Things, they may be developmentally disabled, but they're not stupid. They understand the negative feelings that people have to the point that one fellow with Down actually testified in front of a House committee, and he ended his testimony by saying, "Is there really no place for us in the world? Shame on us if we have people thinking that."
You actually quote in your piece a 2008 Newsweek article. What did it have to say about an alleged epidemic of special needs kids?
Well, it was talking about a horrible way to think of it, but it's talking about the finances and the burdens that special needs kids put onto our society. And we're just so bizarre as a group of people. On one hand, we have this idea of oh, this is such a burden. Oh, people, there's a lot of pressure on women who test positive for conditions for their babies, for conditions such as this, to have abortions. I've talked to women who felt pressured by people who do genetic counseling. There was even a law passed that was co-authored by strange political bedfellows, the late Ted Kennedy and Sam Brownback. Ted Kennedy, obviously a liberal, Sam Brownback, a conservative. He's currently our State Department ambassador on religious freedom. And they passed a law requiring neutrality in genetic counseling. And then at the same time as we have this kind of push to not allow these people to be born, to burden families, to burden society, I'm using burden in quotes, we have things like Special Olympics, which are quite wonderful, and you'll see some very nice stories about it. But the overwhelming majority, at least from where I'm sitting, is there's this pressure for perfection in society. And that's why, again, the Gerber baby is so important, because that's one of the few stories that I recall where you had almost, in fact, I would say unanimous hurrahs, even from the most mainstream media, the most liberal sources, for the naming of this baby to be the Gerber baby for 2018. And to have his beautiful countenance, his picture smiling with the bow tie, and the mother said he's always smiling because, you know, that's just who he is. So it really was an important thing. I don't think that Gerber necessarily, I don't know, said, oh, let's make a statement here, but they found the baby that they found to be, they have this photo contest every year, that they found to be the most adorable, and they went with it, and good for them, because it really did provide a positive boost for people and families with Down syndrome.
Can you explain, and you've just highlighted it there a little bit, can you explain the split personality in our culture, where on the one hand, people, you know, even Vogue magazine said positive things about this choice here, and it's universally acclaimed as a good idea. Maybe a one-off, but it's a good idea. And yet, on the other hand, the same people, either as individuals or as groups, often, to my mind, in complete contradiction, would be in favor of kind of eugenic kind of abortion efforts to eliminate, so to speak, those with Down syndrome.
It's a strange dichotomy, isn't it? And I have done a lot of writing about Sarah Palin in this regard. As you may recall, Sarah Palin has a baby with Down. Her youngest child has Down. And she found out about it before birth, and she's a pro-life person. And she lived by her creed. And she said, of course, it was difficult to hear that news. But we researched and we prepared. And then I believe the boy's name is Trigg. He was welcomed into the world. And the grief that that woman caught because she gave birth to a Down syndrome baby, back when it was happening, I wrote about it quite a bit. It was really despicable, from the usual suspects. I mean, hate-filled, nasty, awful castigation of Sarah Palin for doing this, and some of it even ventured over into attacking the child. It is an odd figure. Now, of course, Sarah Palin is a divisive political figure, but what she did with regard to her son, I don't think should have been within bound of that kind of discourse at all, but it was. They felt justified in doing that.
When you say kind of the quest for perfection or the obsession with perfection, what are you talking about there?
Well, we have a society where there's an increasing belief that not only do we have a right to a baby, but we have a right to the baby we want. And so you'll see a lot of, with regard to in vitro fertilization, IVF, there's pre-implantation genetic diagnosis where they'll make several embryos through IVF. Then they'll take a cell from the embryo and test it for genetics. And I've even read stories that some of it has to do with sex selection, and perhaps even enhancement ideas of aesthetics. And this is growing increasingly common, and with the potential of things like genetic engineering with the new CRISPR technologies, human cloning, we're beginning to face the prospect that rather than accepting the child we receive in unconditional love, we're going to try to manufacture that child to specifications that we set forth. And that would include things like quality control, as any manufacturer would. And we're also seeing in terms of use of surrogate parents, sometimes if a child is born that doesn't meet what the surrogate, the biological parents had in mind for the child, they won't take that child, especially if the surrogate mother is paid overseas. There's a case out of Australia where this Australian couple paid a Thai woman to carry twins, and they found out one of the babies was born with Down syndrome, and they wouldn't take that child.
Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking with him about Gerber's choice of a Down syndrome baby for their 2018 Gerber baby. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a column for First Things titled Why the 2018 Gerber Baby Choice is So Important.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You could even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. Performancefitness618.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Wesley Smith about the first Gerber baby with Down syndrome. Scott Klusendorf is going to be making the case for life at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference on Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th here in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Early bird registration is $110. That includes three meals. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity by calling 618-223-8385 or visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. Wesley, you mentioned this before in passing, but I want to go into a little more detail. This isn't just these eugenic abortion efforts aren't simply kind of a solitary or a singular event. They're part of a broader view that encompasses not just who gets born, but who dies and how they die and when they die. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, all of these things that we're dealing with are symptoms. They're not causes. There's a deeper, profound malaise, I believe, in a nihilism afoot that is we're in the place to that we are denying that human life has ultimate value simply and merely because it is human life. In other words, we no longer take an objective view of the value of human life, and many of us, not all of us, obviously, certainly not you and not me, but we look at these things, people are looking at lives as a subjective thing, that some lives actually have better value, greater value than others. In bioethics, this is based on cognitive capacity. For example, whether or not one is a person is the term that is often used, so that if a human can value his or her own life or self-aware over time, they're a person and they have ultimate value. But an unborn child or a newborn baby or somebody like Terry Schiavo, who has lost those capacities, is considered a human non-person and therefore can be used as an object, which, of course, in my view, is a fundamental evil. When you use a human being as an object, you are denying their equality by definition, turning them into a thing, and that is an evil act. The other problem I think we have, and this takes a lot more time to develop than we have, but a lot of people have moved away from the ultimate purpose of society being the protection of innocent human life, or let's say the promotion of righteousness, to eliminating suffering. And when eliminating suffering becomes the prime directive, that very quickly morphs into eliminating the sufferer, or the cause of suffering. So on one hand, to get back to our earlier discussion, the down baby is seen by many and pushed by many as a cause of suffering to the family into which he or she is born, perhaps to him or herself, because, of course, people with down do have health issues, and to society in terms of the cost of care. And so the way you eliminate the suffering that would cause, is to eliminate the cause of that suffering, which would be in the abortion situation, the fetus with Down syndrome. In the piece that I wrote for First Things, I quote an awful, awful video. I couldn't believe it when I saw it, from the Netherlands, where there's a tremendous problem with these kinds of issues, and as well as euthanasia of people with mental illnesses and so forth, where an accountant or some financial expert told on a chalkboard a Down syndrome man how much more care of people like him cost society than an average person. And he was told it's 48,000 euros a year to take care of people with Down, as opposed to 5,000 for somebody who is normal, quote unquote, and healthy. And I can't imagine being so cruel to that man, but that's exactly what happened. And it shows you that we're becoming, too many of us, desensitized to the idea that each of us are equal and that some of us are being looked upon and the message is being sent that they're not welcome in our society. And that's a very dangerous place to go. It's a very cruel place to go, and it's a very thoughtless place to go.
Well, and the irony there, Wesley, is that one day that very economist who was running those numbers is going to be pretty expensive to maintain too,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's very interesting. Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
So kind of your thoughts on a silver lining that may exist with Gerber's choice of this little guy Gerber baby.
Well, I think the reaction of people is a cause for great encouragement. I mean, even those who have promoted the policies, these death policies that we've described, reacted with celebration. That means that hope is not lost. There is, of course, still tremendous good in this society. I believe the Judeo-Christian ethic, which the backbone of which is the looking at each and every one of us as having equal inherent moral worth, is still vital in our society, although it is under attack. And to see so many people react with such joy and smiles to that beautiful little boy with his bow tie and big grin means that, you know, there's no reason for us to despair, no reason for us to give up. We have to keep fighting for the sanctity of human life, for universal human equality, and for a human fabric that is diverse and rich, and that diversity and richness includes people with disabilities, whether it's physical or developmental. It includes people like that gentle boy with Down syndrome.
Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and a recent column for First Things titled Why the 2018 Gerber Baby Choice is So Important. You can read it and purchase Culture of Death at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Ted Giese joins us to kick things off. We're going to be reviewing a movie that you've been hearing an awful lot about, although the main character is not, well, really a big deal in the superhero universe he occupies, Black Panther, but the movie is getting a lot of play. We'll see what it holds in store for those who are going to go see it with Pastor Ted Giese. Then we're going to talk about a debate in Roman Catholic circles that has been, well, it's an old story, but a new debate, a debate about the Roman Catholic Church's authority, a philosophy called integralism, and Dr. Corey Moss of Hillsdale College will be our guest then. Hour two of Issues Etc. is next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy. Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. School.stpaulhamel.org.